You'd think that as a video game podcaster and comedian, my life is all fun and games. And honestly, you'd be right. About 90% of the time, it's pretty sweet. But every morning, I deal with something very, very serious. My face. You don't become an Edmonton Six overnight. It takes work. And in my case, it takes good facial hair. And fortunately, I have a great facial hair tag team partner in Harry's. Hit up harrys.com/RTG for a $3 trial set and see what I'm talking about. Harry saw the tire fire that the shaving market had become and asked, how did it get like this? Crappy plastic razors, overpriced blades, all locked up like gold bars. And they said, no, we can fix this. And damn it, they did. Harry's ships premium quality razors right to your door. About once a month, I check my mail and there's that little box with everything I need to keep my kid presentable status. The blades stay sharp longer, which means an easier time getting my face in order in the morning. And the razors don't look like a dumb piece of plastic that a junior high schooler uses to take care of their peach fuzz. You have the facial hair of a man now. Shave like one. I actually leave my razor handle on the bathroom counter all the time just because it looks so damn classy. Harry's blades are German engineered and they're made to last. They're the best blades on the market for the best price, and you don't even have to go out to get them. Set your delivery schedule and shave like a king. I know it sounds sarcastic, but I'm being serious. I've used Harry's forever. These blades are really freaking good. Highest reviews in the industry, a money back guarantee that you're not going to need, and a subscription that you can cancel anytime you want. Getting ripped off isn't funny. Switch to Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/RTG. That's harrys.com/RTG for a $3 trial set. Remember the Game is brought to you by my website, abcomedy.net. As you may or may not know, I'm a comedian by night. And as much as I love talking about old video games, telling jokes is how I actually pay my bills. So please check out my website. In addition to old episodes of this podcast, you'll find my blog, videos of my stand-up, all of my upcoming shows, and my contact information. If you need a comedian for your next fundraiser, corporate event, house party, whatever you got going on, hit me up. Again, it's abcomedy.net. And if you're enjoying the podcast, please subscribe to it. Please leave us a good review. And most importantly, please tell a friend. I'd really appreciate it. There'll be a new episode every single Wednesday. Thank you guys so much for the support. I hope you enjoy the show. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Remember the Game, my retro gaming podcast, where every week a buddy of mine and I sit down and geek out about a game from back in the day. My name is Adam Blank. Thank you so much for listening. This week for episode 38, the original guest on this podcast from all the way back in episode 1, my pal Chris is here, and we are looking at Star Tropics for the Nintendo Entertainment System. Kind of a forgotten gem. And I say that in quotations because gem could be a loose term. A forgotten game for the NES. A good game on the NES, frankly. Nintendo just rolled this one out on the other online service for the Switch. So I've been playing with it on there. First time I've played this game since I was probably about 10, 11 years old. And it was, I'll tell you, like, it's definitely got its flaws, no question. But the nostalgia that came with this game was fucking awesome. I grew up in Calgary until I was 12 or 13 years old, 12 years old. And my pal Chris lived across the street from me, and he owned Star Tropics. And we used to go over there and just play it and play it and play it, thinking we could beat it, which now, having played most of the way through it over the last week on my Switch, I know was never going to fucking happen. But just the music and the gameplay, you know, and just like, it's just nostalgia, man. That's one of my favorite thing about retro gaming is the fucking, just those, it just flashes you back to being a kid, you know? And this game is funny too, because like playing it, like, you didn't know back when these games came out. Like, this game came out in 1990, and I probably played it in like 91, 92. And you just didn't know how hard a game was going to get, or if you were going to get stuck somewhere. We didn't have the, so for anyone that doesn't know, and we get more into it when I get into the podcast with Chris, this game has like a legendary little thing with it where the actual game itself shipped with like a note, like a letter from the main character's uncle. And you had to put that letter, the physical piece of paper that came with the game, in water to reveal a secret code that you had to enter near the end of the game to get to the final level. And we didn't have that code. So we would have been fucked had we got that far, because there was no internet or anything to look shit up back then. We just never got that far. So it didn't end up being an issue. But we couldn't look up where to go, like where's the secrets, where's the walls, you know what I mean? Like, it's this game, there's a few instances where you might get stuck if you can't look up where to go. And in the early 90s, there was no internet to look up where to go. We would have just been boned. Luckily/unluckily for us, it was too hard for us to ever get to one of those points anyway. So anyway, it's been fun. It's been rad playing it again. It's really a forgotten game and a forgotten series. I know there's a sequel for it on the NES as well, and then that's it. And I'm really surprised Nintendo's never done anything else with Star Tropics. And I don't, and I may be wrong on this, but I don't think it ever showed up as like a spirit in Smash Brothers even. And literally every video game fucking ever is represented in the new Smash Brothers game as a spirit. But I don't think Star Tropics was in there. And it's owned by Nintendo. I don't understand it. But anyway, this episode's going to be fun. I had a good time. I love talking games with Chris. This is one of those ones I grew up playing. I didn't grow up playing every game we talk about on here. Sometimes it's one I've played later, or I just played as an adult or whatever. But this is one of those ones that just, the music, everything just fills me with those nostalgia, feel good feels, you know? Quickly, I'll get my plugs out of the way. If you're on social media, we'd love a follow. We're on Twitter and Instagram. Probably more active on Instagram these days, but we're on both. You can find us at MemberTheGame. It's just like Remember the Game with LDRE at the front. Anyone that follows us will instantly follow back. I'd love to talk to you there. You can also find our website. It's rememberthegamepodcast.com, and there'll be links to all our podcasts on all major services, including YouTube there. There's blogs, there's posts about each game, blah, 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 blah. Episode 38. You know, so if you're new to the show, thank you for checking us out. We have got a crazy good back catalog of episodes for you to look at. You know, there are some of the greatest video games of all time we've talked about on here. So, and I notice that every week when I log in and check our download numbers and stuff, you know, like I'm just looking at our top 10 episodes downloaded in the last 30 days right now. At number 10 is Super Mario World, which was episode 1. Number 11, GoldenEye, is on the top 10 game or most downloaded episodes over the last 30 days. People are going back, discovering the podcast and going back and checking out old episodes. So if that's you, if you're listening to this and that's something you're doing, dude or dudette, whatever, lady and gentleman, sir, miss, it, they, thank you for listening to our show. I really, really do appreciate it. As we creep up on episode 50, I think I've decided on the game I'm going to do. And when I say creep up, I know it's, it feels like, I'm like, it's 12 episodes. That's not very much. That's 4 months. So it's a long ways away. But I know the game I'm going to do, I think. I'm just working on it. But anyway, point I'm trying to make is thank you guys so much for listening. Really, I do appreciate it. If you're having fun with it, leave us a good review. Tell a friend. All that stuff means the world to me. All that stuff helps us. And we're just going to keep on rolling with this podcast. Oh yeah, just quickly, before I get to the chat with Chris, something else I've been doing, I'm curious to know if any of you do this, is I've gotten much more active in the retro games forum of Reddit. I like kind of just watching from the sidelines, like creeping on Reddit. I don't actually post that often. I tried to get involved in the Nintendo Switch forum, but quite frankly, the administrators or whoever's in charge of it, the moderators, fucking whatever, I feel like they're kind of Nazis and you can't post anything. Every time I post something, they're like, oh, that doesn't open to a discussion. That's against our rules. And I was like, go fuck yourself. The retro game forum seems a lot more loose and fun. So I'm in there. If you're in there, I'm sure hopefully we'll cross paths. If you found this from there, that'd be pretty rad. I don't promote that podcast in there every week. You know, I've read things about how you don't want to spam with too much of your own content and stuff like that. I am going to post an episode, probably once a month in there. So if you happen to be listening to this and you discovered it in Reddit, please just leave me a comment on Reddit or something somewhere and say, hey, I just really like to know if that's paying off at all. I'm just bringing up my Reddit handle because I don't know what it is. It's AdamBlank17. So yeah, if you're on there, say hey. I'll give you lots of upvotes and say hi to you and stuff. I'm still learning Reddit. I don't know everything about it, but that'd be really cool. And you know what? I think that's it. That's enough blabbing from me for today. Oh, yeah. Sorry. No, that's not. I'm not done blabbing yet. Fuck, I'm not done. Another thing I noticed in the Retro Games Forum is a lot of people post their collections in there, their retro game collections. And I fucking love looking at those, man. I used to collect. I got out of it years ago. I get my retro gaming fix primarily from online services. And I don't necessarily mean ROMs, but online services like Nintendo Online, Virtual Console, you know, stuff like that. And stuff like the classic consoles, the NES Online, the SNES Online. Sorry, my phone is ringing and it was very distracting to me. I hope you guys couldn't hear that. Not the NES and SNES online. Sorry, the SNES and NES, like, classic consoles. I'm thinking about getting a PlayStation Classic now just for those. You know, I don't have a lot of space. We live in a townhouse. There's not a ton of room. I don't have room for a giant collection. I wish I did. But I just find that to be the more convenient way to play them now. But having said that, I love looking at collections, man. We have an upcoming episode coming, me and one of my guests, where we're going to just talk about retro game collecting. And I'm really looking forward to it because I think it's just an awesome hobby. And if you're into it, fucking good on you, because you need to keep the history of this fantastic hobby and industry alive. So thank you for doing that. That's great. Okay. What have I been playing this week? And then I'm going to get to the chat with Chris. I've been playing Star Tropics primarily on the NES Online service, as I've said like five times. I'm also still grinding through Kirby's Adventure on there. When I say grinding, it's not that it's too hard for me to play. I just haven't put a ton of time into it, but a lot of fun there. And I started playing Doom, the recent Doom game that came out. It came to Switch, and I finally picked that up, and I've been playing through it. It's pretty brain dead, just shooting bad guys, but it's Doom. Like, you know what you're getting yourself into. Those games are fun. And it's cool. I'm trying to be cheap. You know, well, I'm not trying. You don't try to be cheap. You just are cheap. And I'm a starving artist, stand-up comedian who makes no money, so I'm fucking cheap. And one of the new ways I've come, well, not new, but one of the ways I've come across getting new games to play is I've really gone to, like, when I finish a game, I go primarily digital. But I do have some physical games. And, you know, they're either ones I want to share with my girlfriend because she has her own Switch, stuff like the Breath of the Wild or Mario Odyssey, or ones that I don't think I'll ever play again. So I'll play through it once, and then I'll what I've been doing, instead of trading them into EB or selling them for pennies on the dollar, is I just trade them. I go on Kijiji and just post, like, hey, I finished this game. I'm looking to trade it for another game that I haven't played yet. And that's how I came across Doom, which is perfect because I didn't actually pay for it. I bought Mario Tennis for like $40 a while ago. I ended up trading that for Xenoblade Chronicles 2 that I actually never even played because I just got RPG Burnout and didn't feel like playing it. And I just traded Xenoblade for Doom. And when I'm done Doom, I'll probably try to trade it for like Wolfenstein or something. So just, you know, if you're a poor slash cheap gamer like myself, and you're looking to save a few bucks, try Kijiji and stuff. Try trading your games, man. There's a lot of people out there interested in doing it too, and they're not going to trade them to you. Fucking just cut out the middleman of EB that's going to give you $4 for a $70 game. Go trade it to somebody else for another game. Keep fucking playing. All right, that's it. I'm going to shut up. This has been a 9.5-minute intro. No one's complained to me that the intros are too long. If they are, I mean, I guess you could skip them or just fucking, I don't know, leave me a review, leave me a comment somewhere. Let me know they're too long and I'll cut them down. I don't know. It's your podcast about as much as it is mine. So as long as you guys are listening, I'll do whatever you want. I don't care. I am a slave to the people. And with that said, cue the music. There it is. And sit back, relax, and enjoy my chat with my pal Chris as we look back at Star Tropics for the Nintendo Entertainment System. Thanks, guys. Here we go. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Podcasting is a weird job because I talk to you nerds all the time. Every day, I tell you all about my life, the good and the bad. The ugly, I kind of keep that offline. And it's not that I don't want to talk about it. I'd love to talk about it. I just need to pick and choose who I talk to. We all have stuff that just lives in our minds, rent-free, 24/7. Talking about them can really help because the longer you keep something bottled up, the more likely it is to blow. You've heard me say it before, and you're going to keep hearing me say it. Therapy is the way. Therapists can be that ear to bend when you really need to get something off your chest and don't know who to talk to. And BetterHelp is a great way to go about it. I don't BS you guys. I don't say I've used something if I've never used it. I've personally talked to a BetterHelp therapist about the stuff going on in my personal life, and I genuinely found it helpful. To have someone to talk to that doesn't have any skin in the game, that can just listen and try to help me come up with a roadmap to get through the tough times, it's just invaluable. It has seriously really helped me. I've talked to my therapist through video, and you can do it that way, or you can do it over the phone, or even just over chat. And they give you as many schedule options as possible so you can work a session in around your life. It's licensed therapy, as convenient as it gets. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/rememberthegame today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/rememberthegame.
First
First of all, welcome back to the podcast, the original guest of this show. He's been back a couple of times, all the way back in episode one, my buddy Chris Hibbert.
I'm back.
How are you doing, buddy?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm great. I love that we're recording an NES podcast and you're wearing your PlayStation shirt. You not have an NES shirt?
I do not, no.
No, I understand that.
I'd probably outgrown it ages ago.
Okay, so this week, as you'll know from the intro, we're talking Star Tropics. I figured it would kind of topical because it just released on the NES Online on the Switch. Now, I got to ask you, because I know that you weren't an NES kid growing up. You were one of those dark side Sega kids. Why the affection for this game?
This is actually a game I beat at a buddy's house. Like, this is like... being a kid sleepover, we actually played through this.
Oh, so you did? You played it. You didn't own a Nintendo, but you still got to play this game.
Yeah, this is one of the few that I played through as a kid. Like,
okay. All right, well, that makes a lot more sense. Because as soon as it launched on the Nintendo, you messaged me about it. I was like, yeah, I'll do one. And then I was like, how the fuck do you know this game? You weren't a Nintendo kid. There's more than one. My buddy Chris owned this game growing up. And man, we used to go over there and play it and play it and play it. And it was so fun. And it didn't seem as hard as it does now. It was hard, but I mean, when you were a kid, like, you played the games you owned, and it didn't matter how hard they were. They were just, that was the games you had, so you played them, right?
You got good or you didn't play.
Yeah, right, exactly. And then, have you been playing it on the Switch?
Yeah, I played it. I've been playing it. I'm just kind of brushing up on it again. Like, mm-hmm. I just don't have the time to conquer it again, but...
No, I hear you, man.
It all came back pretty quick once I...
Yeah, it... Dude, this is a, So before I started a replay of it on the Switch, I would have given it like a 9. I would have been like, dude, I have great memories of this game. It's fun. Haven't played it now, and I'll get to the score at the end, but I'm not giving it a 9 anymore. There are aspects of this game that are really rad, and there are aspects of this game that have aged so fucking terribly that at points, it's not unplayable, but it's the controls add to the frustratingness, for lack of better English.
He just doesn't handle well in this day and age. Like,
no,
it's like you're on a grid more or less, right? Like,
yeah,
you can feel it. Like,
it, like, so, like, if you, I mean, if you're listening to them, I guess maybe there's a chance that someone listening to this hasn't played this one. Like, it's, I don't know. I was trying to think of how to describe it, and I guess it's almost like a combination of like Zelda. It's like if you took the original Zelda's gameplay, but then put Zelda's
almost
2
skinned.
Yeah, yeah. Like, it's got some Zelda to it. It's got the overworld like Zelda 2 to it. There's some, like, minimal RPG elements. Like, I mean, like, when you're in the villages, like, and you're talking to people, you know what it reminded me of was Dragon Warrior.
Yeah.
Like, the first Dragon, like, it seemed exactly like playing Dragon Warrior.
I think the action's kind of like the Zelda games, and then otherwise it's like an overworld, like an RPG, like a Final Fantasy or...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they took, like, aspects of a bunch of these different games and kind of combined them. And, like I said, I have great memories of it, but playing it this time, I'm like, the overworld... is cool. Like, I love the way it looks. It's kind of bright. You know, we're on these, like, tropical islands and stuff like that. But the overworld feels almost unnecessary. Like, it's just a way to kind of get you from dungeon to dungeon.
It's so linear, like, because it begs to be explored. Like, I'd love to take the sub and drive it around or, like, find the islands myself and then find where I need to go. But no, like, it leads you to the next step.
Yeah, right. Because, like, after a couple of villages, you unlock a submarine, like a couple islands, you unlock a submarine to take you to the next islands. And you can control the submarine, but there's nowhere to fucking go. It's just a matter of controlling it into, like, literally, like, the one space you can port it in. And then you get out and walk to the next village. Like, there's nowhere to go on the islands. There's, like, one little village, and that's it. You know what I mean? Like, the only real exploration, as far as the overworld goes, is... I don't remember this from as being a kid, but you can look for, like, some heart pieces.
Yeah.
Which is another thing they, like, blatant Zelda, right? But, I mean, I think this... Like, this game was straight up made by Nintendo, was it not?
Yeah.
Like, it's just like Zelda. It's not, like, a third-party game.
It wasn't from Japan, though, hey?
No, that was nuts. I was reading about that.
Yeah, like, I don't think it probably, I mean, I don't even know if it was released there ever, but yeah, it was produced by Nintendo America, and I think it went to Europe.
Looks good on them. Japan gets all kinds of games we don't fucking get, so we get Star Tropics. Fuck them. So yeah, the overworld feels kind of useless. Like, it's nice, it looks cool, you know, but at the end of the day, you've played it. Like, realistically, they could have eliminated all the overworlds and literally just made, like, level 1, level 2, level 3, because they call them chapters, right?
Yeah.
And each dungeon is like a chapter. And when you get out of the dungeon or the cavern or whatever the fuck you want to call it, like, then it says, like, I love that it pops up, you did it! Like, in the giant, like it's almost like they're surprised. They're
gives
like,
you a
wow.
bunch of points, too. It's,
yeah.
It's completely arbitrary because right. you don't see them at all in the game. But.
Vintage NES. It gives you a bunch of points for no fucking reason.
And then you basically walk around this overworld until you figure out how to get open, or how to open the path to the next dungeon. And really, they could have, like, I appreciate the effort. Like, they're trying to throw a bit of a story in there. And I mean, we've talked about this on here many times. I think part of the thing with NES games is they were trying to do things to make them longer. You know what I mean? Like, and a lot of fucking Nintendo games relied on difficulty to do that because they just made them too hard to beat. And then stuff like this, where you're walking around an overworld completely unnecessarily just to, you know, it tacks probably a good hour onto the game by the time you've walked all the overworld of it. But you're right, there's like, it would have been rad to be able to get into the sub and go from island to island, even if you couldn't go into the temples yet or anything, like just to go island to island would have been fun. There's no reason that you shouldn't be able to do that.
Yeah, really linear. There's not really a whole lot of side stuff either. Like, you literally go from A to B, beat a boss, and repeat. Other than, like, finding your heart containers, there's not a whole lot of stuff to discover. It's kind of weird, because that kind of game you figure would be all about wandering around these islands.
And it's like, and it's weird, because, like, I mean, you could argue that, you know, it was the NES. Like, there weren't side quests and stuff. And sure, but, like, there was still exploration. You know, like, this game came after Zelda. Like, by all rights, it's almost like a spin-off of... It's almost like if Zelda and Earthbound had a kid.
Actually, I was kind of trying to think of Earthbound a little bit, because it does have a little bit of quirky humor to it. Not to the same degree as Earthbound did, by any chance.
No, not at all.
There's still some...
There's some Earthbound, like, and your weapons are yo-yos and baseball bats and baseballs and stuff. Like, are they... And they, do you not find it weird, like, that they call the yo-yo stars?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what that was, because it can't even be a mistranslation or anything like that, because it didn't... translated.
I don't understand that. Yeah. I meant to look that up before the show and I didn't. So that shows you how much prep I do for this fucking show. But it is. It's got aspects of Earthbound. It's majority of it is Zelda. But yeah, that's what I was going to say is, like, I mean, even the original NES Zelda didn't have side quests necessarily.
Right.
But exploration was what made it its game, right? Like, you could basically go right to the last dungeon right away if you want. I mean, you're going to get worked, but you could.
Yeah.
You know? And so I don't understand why they couldn't have at least added some form of exploration to this game. It's almost like it's like the overworld seems cool, and then after about two or three chapters you're like, I don't even want to be on, like, fuck, like, just let me play the game, you know?
Like, and it was near the end of the NES's life, so they can't even say it was like, this is our first go, like, give us a chance to make something next time. Like, and, like, there's different characters to talk to. Like, you talk to Dolphin, you talk to
all the
people
different
in the village, like, and it's not like just like hi, like, or the I am error or anything like that. It's like actual conversation. And
But it just, I mean, like, and like even the storyline is like, you're going to try to find your uncle.
Yeah.
You know, but it just doesn't feel necessary to me. Like, I appreciate the effort. They tried to make it more than just a, like, cave one, cave two, cave three, but it just isn't necessary. Like, the core of the game is in the caves or the caverns, the temples, whatever you want to fucking call it. And that's where we'll go as far as the controls go. Like, it's, And you know what? This is another thing that I was thinking about it after that Zelda did as well, is like, it's, I mean, even when you're not doing the jumping, we'll get into that in a second, when you're just walking, it's completely grid.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's, you can't see the literal grid on the floor, but, like, literally, like, if you push up, there is no, like, he can't take a half a step. He will move one.
Pretty much length.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Like, it'd be like, it's almost like it's an invisible board, and he moves, like, one space up. And so what frustrates me about one of the first things that frustrates me about this game is that there are bad guys that can move really quick, and they can move diagonally and stuff like that, and you can't, like, at all, you know what I mean? And it's frustrating sometimes, because, like, you're fucking, like, the bats, those fucking bats. And, like,
those triangle things, same thing. They zip in a diagonal all over.
Yeah, and you're stuck just standing
there. You can't even line a shot up because you have to turn your guy around on the grid.
Right, and it's like it. I can't remember if it was you that texted me this yesterday or if it was my friend Patrick, because I've been messaging you both about this game. I think it was you, but I got to the spaceship, which is the end of the game, and I was just getting fucking angry. And you were like, is it NES hard or is it cheap, or like, is it like design hard? And I was like, I think it's both. But it just, like, as you go, like, the first couple levels aren't even hard. I think the first couple of temples in that game are pretty easy.
And I don't know, that snake, if it's like, I had to kind of do it a couple times before I finally killed him. Like, I kind of forgot how much you have to rely on the weapons you find in the dungeon to beat your bosses. Because, like, if you're trying to yo-yo the snake, you're hopping in, hitting him, hopping out before the fire comes.
Yeah, that yo-yo is borderline useless against some of those bad guys. I mean, in, like, after about four or five dungeons, you unlock, like, a stronger yo-yo, and then it shoots, like, a beam out of it, but you have to have, like, six hearts. to shoot the beam. So, and like, and that's one of the other things that makes this game so fucking hard as my dog, is that there are very few power-ups.
Yeah.
I mean, there's weapons, but there are very few, like
hearts are hard to come by.
Yeah, they are. Like, very few guys drop hearts. Some of them drop stars. And I think if you collect, I think it's 5 stars, you get a heart back. But you usually die before you get 5 stars.
I swear
stars.
On any given level, I collect 4 stars and die.
Of course,
you
yeah, yeah.
That 5th star, it's not coming.
And so it like it's frustrating sometimes because there's minimal ways to get your health back, and then you get that shooting yo-yo, which makes the game like infinitely more playable, like infinitely, because your original yo-yo goes like 2 lengths.
Yeah.
You know, so you have to be so close to these guys that are moving so fast in angles. At least when you can shoot, you can keep a distance and shoot them. But as soon as you fall under 6 hearts, you're practically fucked because you're not going to find any hearts to get yourself back up to enough to shoot the beam again. And then it does no different. You know what I mean? Like,
and every boss too, it's just they almost rely on the secret weapon you find in the dungeon. Like, you fight the octopus, you better find the snowman to freeze him, or else
oh yeah,
it's gonna take hours trying to yo-yo him once when he gets
yeah.
close enough.
Yeah, and that's the other thing is like, and I'm bad with this with all games. This game is one of them. Like, I'm always there's my girlfriend Shaylee. You want to come on the show, Shay? She's gone. What was I gonna say? Oh yeah, the special weapons. Like, whenever I play an RPG, even like a full-fledged RPG or anything, I'm always so gun shy about using my magic, and I'm always so gun shy about using my items because I'm always afraid I'm gonna burn them out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And in this game, I'm the same way. I'm gun shy about using the special weapons, and it's like, yeah, you're right. If you use up your special weapons before you get to a boss, most of the time you're fucked.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's first, like, oh yeah, and like, so I've been playing it on the Switch, and I know you've been playing a little bit on the Switch as well. Massive props to anyone that not only has, like, forget beating the game, anyone that got to the spaceship, which I believe is the last level, that's as far as I've ever gotten, without using save states. Tip of the old cap to you, because this game, like, I couldn't play it. Like, I played it as a kid, and we would get to about the fire boss. You remember the fire boss where you have to find the 2 switches to kill him?
Yeah, to drop in the water there.
And now, like I say, I got further, but it's save states. I couldn't imagine doing this.
Yeah, like, after you get to the spaceship, it's almost like a bullet hell game from there. Like, there's stuff coming at you like crazy.
It's like, fuck, that then, spaceship is like playing Contra almost, yeah. But you don't have the controls of Contra. Like, Contra, like, God, I would love to do an episode of this show about Contra. That's something we got to do. Contra handles perfectly. There's fucking quick moving bullets coming at you from every direction, but the controls are so crisp that it's easy to dodge. This game, it's fucking impossible. And it just gets you so,
keeping you on a horizontal vertical, but then something diagonal. Like, if it's an enemy, you have to hop over, face up, and then shoot, like, try to hit it.
Yeah.
Or else it's going to hit you. Like,
it's fucking ridiculous, you know? Whereas, yeah, you're right. Some of the bosses, like that boss with the snowman, if you didn't have the snowman, I can't imagine how you fucking
beat him. Or even like
the
Cyclopses, where like if you get the stars, you can hit the wall and they just split off, right? And nail them. Like, I don't know how you do that without them.
Dude, yeah, yeah.
Like, there's no way you can get up to yo-yo them. And...
So I don't have an instruction book. Like, I've just been playing on the Switch. And yeah, one of the power-ups you get in one of the last levels of the game. Because that's another thing, is the fucking power-ups don't carry over.
No.
You know, if you don't use them up by the end of the dungeon, they're gone. And I may be wrong on this, but I don't think I am. One of the most valuable items in the game is potions. And you can only find them like 3 or 4 times, but they give you back like 6 hearts or 7 hearts or something. But I think if you die, you lose the potion.
Yeah, when you die, you lose everything.
And you can't get the potion back. It's like...
And then that first level, you remember that too, right? Like, you get a potion, and then it opens the room to the north, so you go to the next one, get another one. Door opens to the north, you go and you hop in the water, you die, you lose your potions.
Oh, dude,
that was the biggest finger from Nintendo, I think, ever.
There is nothing worse in a fucking video game than death by trial and error. You know what I mean? Like, unless the game is like, there are certain games that are designed like that. And like, what I'm thinking of is like, I don't know if you ever played 1001 Spikes.
No.
I think that's what it was called. Or even Celeste.
Yeah.
Which, if you haven't played, if you have a Switch, is the most perfect 8-bit platformer maybe ever made. But that game, like, you die, or like Super Meat Boy is another example. You die constantly, and every time you die, you learn, like, okay, next time I got to jump here, or I'll die again. But that's designed that way, and that's okay. Star Tropics has a couple of times, where you fucking, like, because, like, it's again, taking another ode from Zelda, when you're in the dungeons, you basically go, like, room to room. You get the odd room that's big. Excuse me, that scrolls with you, but for the most part, like, you go through a door Excuse me. I shouldn't drink beer when I'm doing this. I get the burps. I'm drinking beer at fucking 12 o'clock on Sunday afternoon.
Happy St. Paddy's.
Sad Paddy's Day. So you jump from room to room, and as you jump into the next room, then it loads for you, right? And yeah, there's a couple of times where you fucking jump into a room, and then there's nowhere to land. Or there's either nowhere for you to land, and you just die, or you land on a platform that disappears as soon as you land on it. So if you're not ready to, like, jump again, you fucking die. And that's so goddamn cheap. And like you said, in that one, you fucking Star Tropics. Here we go. You get a potion, and you're so excited, and you get all these power-ups, and you're like, all right, let's fucking go. And then you jump into this room, and there's nowhere to land, and you just die, and all the power-ups are gone.
You land right in the water, and there's skulls on the screen to make it look like you're not the first person that's died either. Like, it's just a massive troll job.
You fucking like jackoffs at Nintendo of America, whoever designed this.
See, that's why they didn't get to make mini games.
Yeah, right? Oh, fuck you. And then, like, so then you go back to the start of the dungeon or wherever the last fucking checkpoint was. You have, like, no hearts, and then you're just fucked. And basically, your only option, half the time, like, especially when you get into the later levels, if you die, you might as well just reset. And just fucking, you know what I mean? Like, just go back into the dungeon with a full set of hearts and try again. Because you can get your hearts back if you drink coconut milk in some of the villages.
Yeah.
But you get one shot at it. And then if you fucking die, and then you go back to the beginning of the temple with like 4 of your 10 hearts. And then if you want to refill your health, it's go back out over to that overworld and hike along this boring fucking island to go drink more coconut milk. Oh, you fucking, fucking Star Tropics pisses me off. So I hate that. I hate the controls. I hate the cheap fucking deaths. I hate that there's no health to regain or very minimal health to regain. What I like... have you got anything else you hate? I mean, before I go off this tangent, if you hate more, by all means...
That's pretty much it. It's looking at it through rose-tinted glasses, I still love it. I mean, it was a lot of fun as a kid. I don't, like you said, I think it's just... back in that day, games, they were probably 10 times as hard and... Like, yeah. Even 10 times as short, like...
Yeah, it's...
Like, it really isn't that long of a game.
It's not. Like, sitting here playing it on the Switch, like I said, I've been using save states straight up. And it's funny because there's half of me that's like... It's like, imagine, like, the two little angels, like, the angel and devil on your shoulder, you know what I mean? But it's like the little kid gamer in me and then the adult gamer in me. And the little kid gamer is like, we used to play this without save states, you pussy. And then the adult in me is like, I don't have time for this shit anymore. Save states.
My adult's like, dinner was 2 hours ago.
Right, yeah. So many NES in like that 8-bit era, so many of those games are infinitely more playable with save states. You know what I mean? It was just, but back then it was just, like you said, half the time there was no way to save. Or there was very little, you know.
Could you imagine being like a 6-year-old firing it up for the first time though without save states?
No,
I don't think you'd play it. Like,
I mean, we used to play it, but that's because it was all we had. Like, it was like it was you played what you fucking had. It'd be like if you rented a game for the weekend, right? That was all you fucking had. Yeah. So it's like, wait, we have to like honestly, like you know, a game that. Sorry, I am going to get into what we like about Star Tropics in a minute. Then we'll wrap this thing up. But now I'm fired up and ranting.
If you're hearing this, you're probably a gamer. And for our kind, nothing is as precious and valuable as our save files. Have you ever experienced the loss of a save file? It's soul-crushing. Dozens, maybe hundreds of hours of work, gone, like that. But at the end of the day, it's a video game. It matters, but kinda, you know? That exact scenario, but with a work project, an essay for school, data for your business, that's no joke. That can be really serious. You need a safety net. And I got you, fam, with my partners over at CrashPlan. Visit CrashPlan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year of CrashPlan. CrashPlan has been protecting people's data since 2001. And a couple years ago, they set out on their own with one mission, to provide the best damn cloud backup solution on the market. CrashPlan runs quietly in the background of your computer or Mac, and every 15 minutes on the clock, they create a new backup of every file that's changed in that time. So if something goes wrong, God forbid, you don't lose hours, lose days, lose weeks of work. Just log into your account and you can download your most recent backup from the secure cloud servers. And there's not just one backup. There's a laundry list of them. You can pick and choose which one you want. It's like the ultimate undo button. If you work on a computer in any capacity, CrashPlan is a must-have. And if you're thinking, ah, that's for big businesses, I'm just Joe Schmo. CrashPlan protects Joe Schmo. They offer a ton of plans and tiers. So there's a CrashPlan for everyone from small one-person businesses like me to you fancy businesses and offices with staff and free donuts and all that stuff. Time is money. Why wouldn't you protect your work? Spreadsheets, diagrams, videos, art, podcasts. Crash Plan has you covered. Don't let data disasters slow you down. Crash Plan has your back and keeps you moving. Go to crashplan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year of Crash Plan. That's crashplan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year. Back up better with Crash Plan.
A game that I loved growing up was Bart versus the Space Mutants. On the NES. I owned it. I beat it. I'm proud to say I beat that game as a kid. Like, my brother and I played the fuck out of that game. I guarantee you, if I played that game now, I'd be like, this fucking sucks. But it was the game we owned, so you played it. You know what I mean? Like, it just... And there were so many games like that. Like, you were a Sega kid, right?
Yeah.
But I'm sure you had games that weren't good.
I mean, it's... And then it's the biggest insult to injuries when you beat him. It was just like, yeah, you got that congratulations or... Just some like
some crappy screen.
Yeah, you did it. Like back to start.
Congratulations. Yeah. Fucking Ghostbusters. Okay, so that's all the shit we hated. But this game does some things right. Like you said, it's not. This game is not a dud.
It's charming.
It very charming. I love the music. Like, I'm excited to put the music into this one.
I mean, it's just that calming, it is, relaxing
like,
music.
When you're in, especially when you're in the overworld and you're on the islands, like they do. Like it's especially for an NES game. Like it's really bright. Like, the grass is bright, the water looks so, like, the water looks like you're in the fucking, like, Bahamas, and it really, the music, and, like, you really do get this, like, soothing island feel almost out of it, you know? I love the weapons. Like I said, the baseball bats, the fucking throwing stars, that kind of stuff.
That's the main character, Mike. He's just a guy from the States visiting his uncle, right? So, like, he brought his yo-yo bats and all that
stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Like...
The star.
Yeah.
It's a star. It's not a yo-yo, it's a star. I like that. I love the... jumping aspect. So like I said, like we were explaining, if you haven't played this, you walk like you're on a grid. Like you walk like it's one up, one left, one right. But there are a lot of different areas where there are actual grid spaces on the board or on the screen, and you literally jump onto them. And you can't jump over them, or you can jump over one space, like over one water. But you literally jump from tile to tile, and you're looking for secret switches and stuff like that.
That kind of made it fun. It's almost like a little puzzle element to
it.
It
is.
Like you have to kind of hop in almost in order to
Honestly, that's my favorite part of the game, is the, like, you go into a room, you clear out all the bad guys, and then you jump on all the tiles, like, exploring, you know? And then, like, there is the fire boss where you don't even have to hit him. He's just sitting on a platform shooting fire at you, and there's the whole screen is tiles and water, and the object of to beat him is you have to not get hit by his fireballs enough to kill you, and you have to find the two switches that are in these tiles, right? And one of the tiles is one of the ones right beside him. So one of them is up in the top like left corner. It's easy to get to, and that frees up like that unplugs like half of his platform, and then the other switch to unplug the other half to drop him into the water is literally right beside him. And like, is it, you know, you never think to fucking jump there because you think you're gonna die if you jump onto his platform, right? I really, you're right. It is like a puzzle, and it's clever. I really enjoy that aspect of the game a lot.
And they animated it really well too. Like for that boss there, once he finally hits the drink, his flames go out, and he's just kind of steaming there. And he looks all sad because he's in the water. He's toast. So,
yeah,
but
you're right. Yeah, it's
all the characters are well done. Like when you talk to someone, it kind of goes into like a first person. You face them and they say their lines or whatever. And
yeah, it's the graphics are actually surprisingly good. Like for an NES game, I think this is one of the better looking NES games. I love the puzzle aspects. I love the exploration. There's like secret walls that you can walk through. There's a few points like, you know, where you go. There's a part where you have to, like, you can see the exit to the level is this, like, water, like, geyser. Like, it sprays up, and you can see it, but you're like, how the fuck do I get to that? Because it's, like, a dead end all the way around it. Then you realize you have to go around it, like, around that room in the dungeon, and then walk through the wall to get into that area. You know what I mean? And, like, and like, it's not overly complicated, but it's just enough that you have to, like... use your brain. Like, you look at it like a puzzle, you know?
Same with diving the sub, too. You got to kind of figure out which where to go to maneuver through the islands and stuff like that to get to...
Like, the one aspect of exploration there really is to it is the looking for the space of the sub. It just sucks that, like, there's literally nowhere to go except looking for the one space to move you to the next area. There's no other, like, exploration at all. So I really like that. Some of the bosses are pretty cool. Some of them are kind of cheap, like you said, but I enjoy that part. And then it has a secret code.
That was the coolest, maybe not coolest thing if you ever lost the damn thing.
But. You're right. So, like, one of the most famous, I'm trying to think of the word. Would you call it, like, a novelty gimmick?
I think it was, Yeah, I guess it really was a gimmick, wasn't it? Right? Like, I mean, it...
So one of the most famous, for lack of a better term, gimmicks in gaming history is Metal Gear Solid, where you're fighting Psycho Mantis, and you have to unplug the controller from port 1 and put it into port 2, because he's reading what you're doing, and so you have to go to port 2 so he can't read your mind anymore. I feel like this is like the original version of that. I know it's not as clever as that, but what they actually did, and I have to assume they did this to try to avoid, to get people to buy the game brand new, right? Because like you could rent it or buy an old copy and be fucked if you don't have the manual. The manual came with like a letter from your uncle, I guess is what it is. And you literally have to dip this piece of paper in water. The game tells you to do this, like dip this letter from your uncle in water, and then it'll reveal a 3-digit code that you have to punch into the sub to get to the next level. And like, obviously in today's world, it's completely pointless because in 3 seconds I Googled it and found it. And like, some people pointed out that Nintendo may never release this game on like a virtual console or something because of that. And I'm like, I have to assume if you're tech savvy enough to download a game on your Nintendo console, you're tech savvy enough to Google what the 3-digit code is. Because I don't think Nintendo has actually said what the code is anywhere. Did they? Like, I had to Google
it. They put it in Nintendo Power, I think, back in the day.
Right, but I mean, like, with the re-releases on Virtual Console with this.
But,
or...
I mean, it's almost a given where you get to this. You're going to get frustrated. Where is it on Google, right?
You're going
to
Google it, yeah. So you Google this back in the fucking 90s or whatever, when this, I haven't looked up the release date.
I think it was
1990. It sounds like a 1990 game. Like, it seems to me like it would have come out around like Kirby.
Yeah.
Like near the
it
end
was
of
really
the NES.
At the tail end.
Yeah, it came with a piece of paper and you had to dip it in a glass of water. And like, dude, can you imagine if like you fucking rented this game for the weekend back in 1990 and got to that point and then were fucked because you didn't have that piece of paper?
Well, imagine you bought the damn game and your mom throws the box out with the paper
yeah,
in it.
Yeah,
screwed.
You're
dude, gone. Like,
because we used to throw all our boxes out. Right? It hurts my heart now. But yeah, of course, right? And like, yeah, can you imagine? Like, because there was no way, the only other way I guess you would have done it would have been to like call that fucking power line.
Yeah, maybe that's where it was, just to call the 900 line and get the calls.
Pay
to
$20 to find out what the 3 codes are. I think that's clever though. I like it. You know what I mean?
It's fan service. Like, I like the idea they put this piece of paper, like it's a letter from your uncle and it looks like one. It's not just a like Nintendo blank piece of paper with just dip this in water or anything like that. Like,
yeah.
I think it reads like he actually wrote it.
Yeah, yeah. It's
stuff like that. So it's cool.
Are you surprised they haven't done anything with this franchise in fucking,
I didn't know for the longest time there was a Star Tropics 2.
I didn't either. Have you played it?
No. I actually watched some YouTube video of it, and it looks like it's more of the same, but it looks like it's...
I'm going to try it. Like, I have
know.
It on my...
I honestly don't even know anything about it. Really.
Me neither.
Like...
No, me neither. But that's it, you know?
Yeah.
And like you said, like the original... So the original one came out near the end of the life cycle, I believe. I mean, there's a slight chance we're wrong, because I didn't do my homework, but I have to imagine this came out near... The graphics are too good for this to have been an early NES game. You know, like, and that's one of the things, too, is, like, I feel like the NES absolutely deserves its place in history for what it did for gaming, but I also think there's a lot of games on that system that haven't stood the test of time.
No.
A lot. More than Sega ever had with the Master System or anything, by far. And that pains me to say as a Nintendo kid, but there's a lot of games that didn't work. But near the end of the NES, you were really starting to see, like, they were, like, I mean, you take this game... You take Kirby, you take Little Samson.
Wario's Woods.
Wario's Woods. If you take Mega Man 6.
Yeah.
Mega Man 6, that game ran on an NES, is incredible to me. Like, near the end, they really had a great handle on what that system was capable of. And this is one of those games that I'm like, I if you told me to tell someone they have to play 10 games to really sell them on the NES... I'm not 100% sure Star Tropics would be in my 10 games, but it would be on the short list. Like, it's a good game that looks great. It's frustrating as fuck, but so is almost everything on the NES.
And you can play it today and not, like, completely hate it. It's like...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, I've given up. Now that I'm at the alien spaceship, I've given up. I can't fucking beat it. The game goes from, like, a... Like, if the game was a 7 out of 10 for difficulty before the alien spaceship, it goes to a 12 out of 10.
Oh, it spikes hard.
It's fucking insane. But I had a lot of fun. Like, I probably put 10 hours into it, like, get into the spaceship. And, yeah, like, no regrets. I had a great time playing it again.
Yeah, like, crazy nothing ever happened with it again. I'm not sure if it's just because it was an American-made game and the they just now don't have any interest in going back to it.
Yeah.
Because I'd love to see it with some modern graphics. Like, you could have a lot of fun with an island setting. And
yeah. Like, it's just, I mean, Nintendo has so many, like, I mean, everyone, when you think of Nintendo, you think of Donkey Kong, Mario, Zelda, like those games, right? But, like, I mean, they have, like, they have Punch-Out, they have F-Zero, Star Fox, like, these smaller, and I use that term non-disparagingly, but, like, these smaller, of their by Nintendo standards, these smaller franchises, that at least they bring back for games every once in a while. Star Tropics, nothing. And my if I'm not mistaken, Star Tropics 2 is one of the ones that came out well after the Super Nintendo had already released.
Oh, yeah. Like, I think it was almost, maybe, I don't think it was the last one, but it was pretty close.
Has to be right near the end. And yeah. it's like, how did we not get a Super Nintendo Star Tropics? Like, did they not sell? Like,
maybe just not being in Japan, it just
It surprises me.
Appeal, maybe. I don't know. Yeah,
the fact that Star Tropics found its way onto the NES Classic is really rad. Because I guarantee you, when you look at the list of games, like if you don't play a lot of games now, and then you bought one of those NES Classics, you were looking at that box. Star Tropics has to have been one of the few that a lot of people were like, "What the fuck is this?"
Yeah,
you were looking for Zelda, the Marios, Contra. You know what I mean? Like that kind
modern
of stuff.
Ties to
yeah.
So now, yeah, it's kind of a obscure throwback.
Good game, man. Before we score this thing, have you got any other praise / criticism?
I love any game where you talk to a pig and it just says oink.
The way you said that, it was like you had that locked and loaded. Like just, it's a fun game. Chris, what would you give Star, retroactively, what would you give Star Tropics on a scale of 1 to 10?
I'll give it a hard 8.
You know
I liked
what?
It. Like it was the memory I have of that. I remember the friend I beat it with, and it was a blast. Like I mean, that was what Nintendo gaming was all about when you were a kid. Was just staying up late, playing it,
yeah,
having a good time.
I agree with that.
Yeah, I'll give it a hard 8.
7.5. It would have gotten an 8 till I got to that fucking spaceship and almost put my Switch through my fucking window. 7.5. It's a good game. If you haven't played it, play it. It's on the Nintendo Online service on Switch now. It's on the virtual consoles. It's on the Nintendo. It's on the NES Classic. It's pretty well. For a forgotten little cult classic franchise, it's pretty well everywhere. It's pretty available to play. Give it a shot. Chris, thank you so much for doing this, buddy. And you guys, if you're listening to this, I know you're going to be hearing this 3 days late, but happy St. Patrick's Day, and I hope you got as drunk as I'm about to go get.
Take care.
All right, cheers. That's going to do it for this week's episode, everybody. Thank you for listening. Chris, my good friend, thank you so much for coming over and getting day drunk with me and recording a podcast. Much appreciated. You guys, like I said at the end of that episode, if you haven't played Star Tropics, check it out. It's available on everything. It's cheap. It's fun. You probably won't beat it, but it doesn't matter. Highly recommended. Really fun game. It's good stuff. If you're on social media, throw us a follow. Twitter and Instagram, we're at Remember the Game. We're on Facebook at facebook.com/rememberthegame. You can find us on our podcast website, rememberthegamepodcast.com. And now I'm on Reddit under the username AdamBlank17. I'm kind of active in the retro games forum. I'm kind of getting my feel, my legs under me as far as Reddit goes. Say hi if you're on there. That'd be really cool. If you enjoyed the show, please leave us a review. I don't know what they accomplish, but every article I've read about growing your podcast has said reviews are critical, so please leave us one. That would be great. And most importantly, keep gaming. You know, we're getting into the warm months right away. It's going to get nice outside, and you don't want to be out there getting sunburnt and attacked by bugs. You want to be inside playing old video games like the rest of us. Thanks for listening, you guys. I will be back in 7 days with, if it's the game I think I'm going to put up next week, a real big title. One of those ones everybody's played, everybody loves, or maybe it won't be. I don't know. I fly by the seat of my pants. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. All I know is there'll be another episode here in 7 days, and I hope you all listen to it. And until then, thank you guys so much. I say it 100 times a week, but I can't tell you how much I appreciate you listening. And take it easy, and I'll see you guys again in 7 days. All right, cheers.